that?
We're part of the sermon series, as Kyle mentioned in his prayer, looking at wisdom, and that'll be one more Sunday focusing on wisdom. There's so much more that we could study, but today we're going to focus on this idea of labor and rest, and I'm taking advantage of Labor Day, and I don't know if you're like me, I have never, ever asked the question, what is Labor Day? Other than it's, for some of you, a three-day weekend. For some of us, it's not. But I thought, what is this all about? You have a four-day weekend? Okay, John Jermaine gets four-day weekends on Labor Day. Back in the late 1800s, the labor movement and so on decided, you know, we need to celebrate labor and draw attention to those who are part of the labor force and so on. So they decided they're going to have a day and celebrate this idea of labor. And so that's why we have Labor Day on the first weekend of September. And did you know that the state of Oregon was the very first state to make it official that they're going to have every year this day to celebrate labor? So we get to be first on the calendar for that event. So we're part of this labor celebration. And I was thinking, okay, from a spiritual perspective, from the text that we just read, how does God, you know, what are his thoughts in this area of labor? And this text, I think, is a very good one because Paul's reminding us, okay, we need to understand how we do spend our time. How do we spend our days? And are we living in such a way that we're trying to find out what God's will is for how we spend our days? So I like this text because it reminds us of how to live wisely. And how does the idea of labor and rest fit in with this idea of living wisely and according to God's will? So we're going to look at that this morning. And I'm going to look at it from four different perspectives. I'm going to first look at this idea of celebrating labor because I think we do. Especially we Americans, I think we celebrate labor. And for us to look at, you know, can we live a balanced life, what that might look like. The idea of rest, and specifically how rest ties into us spiritually. And then finally, maybe some practical things for us to think about this morning. So we're going to start off first is this idea of celebrating labor. I think if we look at it, if all of us looked at our calendars and how we spend our days and how we look at work, I think we celebrate labor. I really do. And is it making the most of our time? As we think about how we spend our days, is working overtime, is that the best way to spend our time? Or we just kind of skewed some things and said, well, work is more important. So we're going to focus on that. But our work did begin and has always been around. It began in the garden. God said, after he created and he created humankind, he said, okay, now I want you to take care of the garden. So our work began very early. And it wasn't a part of the curse, except for, I think, part of our work became a part of the curse. But work has always been a part of who we are. Labor has always been a part of humankind. From the very beginning, that's what we've been about. And I think as a people, especially church people, we have been shaped by this idea that, this is what God wants for us. That we need to have an elevated perspective of work, of labor. And there is scriptural evidence for that. But I think we've skewed ourselves to this point where we celebrate labor and miss out on really a balanced or a restful life. You probably all know this passage from Proverbs chapter 6. This is out of the, you know, wisdom literature. We look at the ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways to be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? Haven't we, as God's people, followers of Jesus, oftentimes use this passage, you know, to say, boy, see, we need to be like the ant. We need to work hard. And I can't imagine a preacher getting up and saying, okay, you guys are sluggards, and you guys need more, be more like ants. And I'm not doing that this morning, but we've used this passage in that way. Okay, we've said, okay, don't be sluggards. By the way, look at the ant and what it's done. I had become a Christian in June. I decided to follow Jesus in June, and in July, I was invited to be a counselor at a church camp. Doesn't make any sense to me. Didn't have a clue what the Bible was. I didn't know Peter from Paul, but they wanted me to go serve at camp. And the passage of that camp that they used was this passage, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Now, didn't discuss the context. They just chose that verse, and they said, this is how followers of Jesus ought to live. This is our marching orders. And that made a lot of sense to me because that's how I was raised. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. This is how my dad did things. You know, you give it everything you got if you're going to do anything. And so that, hey, this works. I like this. This works. And it was the very first passage I've ever memorized was this verse. I've been shaped by this passage. This is how followers of Jesus are supposed to live. So I thought. And we're not supposed to be lazy. In the context of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you know, Paul's talking about the second coming and how we're supposed to respond to this idea of Jesus coming back. And he finally had to write the second letter and say, wait a minute, okay? You're not just supposed to stand up on the hillside and just go, waiting for Jesus to come, okay? Maybe still not being, you still need to be busy. And he said this, we hear that some of among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. So we've been shaped by Scripture that says we need to work. Okay? We need to be like that ant. We need to make sure that whatever hand finds to do, we do with all our might. And no one's supposed to be sitting around. You're supposed to earn your food. Okay? So that's kind of shaped us. And in many ways, I think we celebrate labor. I think that's been our perspective in many ways. Unfortunately, I believe it has defined us as individuals. And for some of us, our work kind of justifies our existence. And in many ways, we've been enslaved because of our labor. We're stuck. We're defined, we're justified, and enslaved by our labor. When you meet somebody for the very first time, what's one of the first questions you ask? What do you do? And then we equate, for some reason, their value, the purpose of their existence, who they are, by the job that they do. We celebrate labor to the point where we define in many ways who we are. What do you do? And so then we want to make sure we have a job. Is my microphone working? No, it's not. There it is. We get a status position, don't we, by our job. Well, you're one of those. And so oftentimes we'll seek a job that has status in it, that elevates us and defines us. And we search out getting jobs that give us lots of provisions so we can have stuff. And so we celebrate labor to the point where it helps us have what we have, and we want to accumulate all these kinds of things, because oftentimes what you have kind of gives an image of who we are. And so we've elevated labor to the point where it helps us have the things so then we can look good in front of other people. And we got to provide for our family, don't we? So we need to have our four or five cars and all the toys and all that kind of stuff. And so we push labor and our busyness in labor to have these things and to provide for our families, so we say. And we're always busy. Busy, busy, busy. Because we don't want to be lazy. We don't want to have that kind of image. And so we take the overtime to keep ourselves busy, to justify our existence, to find who we are, and we become enslaved because we celebrate labor. And it creates all kinds of anxiety, and we become very weary because we've elevated labor. And it's become our focus. And working for retirement is overrated. I learned this from Bill Killen. A couple years ago, Bill goes, you know, I retired when I was 60. I wish. That's my comment. But he said, I retired at 60 because all these people who were retiring were dying off. And I asked him the other day, I says, can I share this with you, the body here? And he says, sure. He said, and I didn't know this, he's been tracking 250 employees that he used to work with and to see how long they lived after retirement. The average amount of years is 6. 6 years. They work all these years and knocking themselves out for retirement, and they have 6 years to enjoy it. Glessie, you were saying Bob was 2 years. Retirement, or actually working, in many ways is overrated. I have a theory on that, but I can't prove it, that especially we men, as soon as we stop working, we just don't have a reason to exist, and so we fizzle. But isn't it sad that many of us knock ourselves out thinking that we're going to enjoy this great time of retirement and don't? And Nancy's got a fear. and okay, I'm just being open and honest here. She's afraid of me retiring because I'm too wound up. And I've got to be busy. And I've got to be doing. And I have been shaped by this concept of elevating and celebrating labor. And it has defined me. And I find myself justifying my existence. And I've got to get my 40, 50, 60 hours in a week so I feel like I've done my job. And I can't imagine, what am I going to do if I retire? And that's sad. Because I've bought into this. I bought into this wisdom of the ant and whatever my hand finds to do. And I'm out of balance. And I think Nancy's right. She's really worried about me. You know, what am I going to do? And so maybe this sermon's for me. I'm glad you guys have joined me in this conversation. Don't retire. See, there's people like you, Kay. But what is your perspective of labor, of work? And have you raised it to the point where you're defined by it? So we need to seek a balance. We need to seek a balance because there's wisdom in rest. The wisdom of rest really is the idea that we are free from feeling like we need to be productive. Because our productivity has defined us. Our productivity has justified us. And our productivity has enslaved us. And God says you need to have rest. And you need to understand the wisdom of that rest. I see life as a bucket. And this may be a bad image, but I see life as a bucket. And for many of us, we think, okay, we're filling our bucket when we're working. But in my mind, we're emptying our bucket. We're out of balance. We keep emptying our lives by thinking we're being productive and doing all this work. But in reality, I think what we're doing is we're emptying ourselves. We're not filling ourselves up. If we do think we're filling ourselves up, I think we've overstated labor and work. And rest is designed to fill our buckets, in my mind, so that we can live life more fully and not being empty. But here's the caveat in that. Too many of us think, okay, I'm going to go on vacation or I'm going to rest so that I can go back to work and be more productive. So we've got it all messed up. That's not really rest, because again, we've said work is more important. Boy, I got to get some rest in so then I can be more productive. Okay, we're back to celebrating labor and elevating it. And that's not God's perspective. That's where he's instituted this idea of Sabbath. And I'm not going to spend much time on it today. We've talked about it before in some other sermons and classes. But this is what God wants for his people, is Sabbath. Sabbath. And he was the first one. He was the first one to experience and to demonstrate this idea of what a Sabbath is. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, see, if God had hands and hips, I imagine him going, you know, that looks pretty good. That looks really good. Okay? He paused and said, it's good. And then there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. He took a Sabbath from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, God instituted this concept of Sabbath, and then put it into place when he brought the children of Israel, okay, out of Egypt. He decided, okay, they too need to have a Sabbath. They need to understand the Sabbath rest. And what did they come out of? They came out of slavery. They came out of an environment where they were defined. Their existence was based upon their enslavement, their work. And so when he gets them out of Egypt, he says, I want you to take this Sabbath. I want you to stop working. I want you to be free from this work, this enslavement, and to realize that I got you. I got you. Your justification, your existence, what defines you is that you're my people. So trust me. Trust me. You don't have to work today. Have a Sabbath. You're no longer enslaved, and you're not enslaved to work. Trust me. So I see the idea of Sabbath is really saying, God saying, you know, your trust needs to be in me, not in your productivity, not in your busyness. You need to rest and realize who gives you that rest. Have a Sabbath. To limit your productivity, that your existence, your justification, what defines you is not creating all these things and being productive, but rest. You know, God did this actually later on in Leviticus chapter 19, where, you know, the harvesting laws, what did he say to do when it came to the corners? Cut the corners and leave some. Limit your productivity for the benefit of others. See, this is part of God's, the whole big picture. Limit your productivity. And declare, I see Sabbath is really a declaration of freedom from work. Stop. Rest. Seek balance. Seek balance for your life. So we celebrate labor. I think we've got it all wrong, and we need to seek and try to find to understand, you know, some kind of balance, but we also need to understand this concept of rest. And this is where it gets more, I guess, more spiritual, spiritual focus, is you and I are not justified or defined by our stuff and the things that we do. It's who we are in Jesus. That's where we should be focusing upon our lives, and where we get our justification for how we live and who we are and what defines us. It should be our understanding of what it means to be in Christ. That our rest is in Jesus. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." We have two things going on here. I mean, this is not necessarily about going to heaven, but there is a rest that we have when we're in Jesus. Let us therefore make every effort to enter this rest, this place of being complete in Christ, and not defined by our busyness and by our work. And that Jesus is the Lord of rest. In Mark chapter 2, he says this, "Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath." And again in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest." Our ultimate rest is not in a hammock, even though that sounds pretty good, but our rest is in the Lord. He takes the burdens, the anxiety, and what defines us, and we get it in him. And this is good news. As we think about discipling others, I'm sure there's many of you that are either have family members or neighbors or coworkers who are defined by productivity, who are just going crazy with overtime and are anticipating their retirement. And maybe you can come alongside them and say, "You know what? Have you thought about finding some balance in your life? And maybe even embracing the idea of rest and not being defined by your work or your productivity or all the things you have. And help me," and maybe you can say, "Let me show you what it means to be a person that can bring rest, and let me show you Jesus." What a great message for some people that are just on the treadmill and they're going crazy. The importance of sharing Jesus with them, because that could be really good news. Actually, it is. So, practice. Okay, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, okay, don't be so productive. Don't be defined by your busyness. When your boss may say, "You're putting in overtime this week and you don't have a choice." It's easy for me to say, "Well, you know, knock it off. Just put in the 40 hours when I don't work in your world." And there's all kinds of things that maybe you're just pressured by or we are pressured by, and it makes it hard to find balance. And if we all, most of us are in the working world still, it is hard when we live in a world and a culture that celebrates labor. It makes it hard. So it's not easy, and there's a lot of factors in this, and I understand that. And we also need to understand if we're an introvert or an extrovert. For some of you, you may be thinking that you're resting and you're an introvert and you're hanging out with all kinds of people. Well, where do introverts get their rest? Okay? It's getting away from people. But we need to sometimes understand, you know, whether an extrovert or an introvert, what can help fill our buckets and what can help give us some rest and replenish us. Okay? So sometimes we need to understand who we are and our quirks and our and so on. So finding rest, finding balance, we need to understand kind of what our makeup is from time to time. But we need to find the joy like God found joy. When he stood back and put his hands on his hip, and just said, "This is good." We need to stop from time to time and say, "It is good." This doesn't happen all the time because I live in Oregon, but oftentimes when I'm on my run and I'm on the back road of Cullen, on that gravel road on that side of town, and I get out past, out in the open area there, I will oftentimes stop on my run and watch the sunrise. Now, I'm a productive kind of person, and I'm wanting to get my run in, and so some mornings I don't do this, but the mornings I stop, and I take it in, and I pray, and I go, way to go, God. I find joy. I find rest. And I'm able to see pictures like this, images like this. I get to feel what God has wanted us to have when we stop and pause. This picture's in Muren in Switzerland. And I got up real early before the sun rose, and I clambered up the mountainside because I wanted to watch the sunrise over Eiger and Jungfrau, the Alps right there. Sometimes we got to put ourselves in a position where we just go, way to go, God, and rest in that. But if we're always busy, if we're always productive, if we're always doing the overtime, we miss getting our buckets filled and finding rest and understanding what defines us and who we are is God. Let's turn to worshiping Him now. So Paul reminds us how to live wisely. Look carefully not how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wisdom says to make most of your time. He doesn't say make more widgets. He doesn't say producing things is the best use of time. Don't celebrate labor. Celebrate life in me. Seek my will. There, that's where you get what defines you. So I'm hoping this morning, if anything, I maybe help some of you move a little bit more towards the direction of not being defined by work and by your labor, that what defines you ought to be what Christ has done, and find rest in Him. And if you're not in Christ, you can't find really true rest. It's only found in Him. So if you're outside of Christ, you've been baptized into Christ, you're not united with Him, there won't be any rest. Maybe this morning you've realized you've elevated work to the point where you are enslaved. You need our prayers, so we can come alongside you and bless you in some way. We'd be happy to do that. If there's other things that you may want to share with the body in prayer, you can do so now as we stand and sing.